line and I'll get a pole, honey. You get a line and I'll get a pole, baby.
I'm going through one side.
You get a line and I'll get a pole. You'll go down to call that hole, honey.
Sure, it wasn't my hearing going out.
Sit on my back, my feet got cold, honey. Why don't you put your shoes on, boy? Sit on the back, and my feet got cold, babe. Sit on the back, and my feet got cold. And the sights you called that jumping that hole, honey. Baby, mine. You get a line, and I'll get a pole, honey. You get a line, and I'll get a pole, babe. You get a line, and I'll get a pole. We'll go down to the car that hole, honey, baby mine.
Okay. I don't know, I just felt like listening to bluegrass. Yeah, you get a line, I get a pole, but I'm the crawdad hole.
It's a good song, though.
Yeah, I like it. All right, come on, stop. That's enough. Okay, go away. All right, let's see, fishing report. I know you gotta go, so Peace River.
Ooh, Peace River's been actually pretty good. Getting a lot of reports of pretty good sized snook up there by the dam. You know, also right there around like Harbor Heights area. You know, fishing all those docks with shrimp. You got to be careful though with your bait that you're bringing up there, because some of it will die on you. You know, lures are actually working very good. Those new dart spins, I've been playing around with those. They're pretty phenomenal. What I've been doing though, I'm taking that weedless hook off and I'm putting on a Rockport Rattler jig head. And I'm doing more like vertical bounce. I'm throwing it under the docks and I'm bouncing it up and I'm letting it fall, and I'm getting a lot of my strikes on the fall. The redfish bite's been pretty good. Live shrimp or dead shrimp up in the mangroves in your deep holes under your docks, all on a split shot or a jig head. But there's been actually some pretty good redfish running around up in
Peace River. What about up by I-75?
75 Bridge has been doing good, you know, for the black drum in the daytime. Some decent snook fishing on the northbound side of 75. The night bite's been actually the best. There's a lot of juvenile tarpon running through there at nighttime and a lot more snook. Throwing bait busters, throwing storm paddle tails are all working very, very good for them snook. If you bring thread fins or anything up there, shut your wells down and put it on a recirc. You'll get a little bit more time out of those.
Let me see. Weather and tides. I haven't checked the river to see what it's doing.
The level, I haven't seen it either.
Alright, almost there. Fishandfranks.com. Weather and tides. Peace River. Ooh, yeah. 1,390 cubic feet a second. We had 7.5 feet. We're down to a little less than 6 right now. So there was a lot of fresh water coming down. A lot of brown water going into the harbor right now. Going to raise the overall temperature of the harbor up. Fish are going to go a little bit more out towards the Gulf. But yeah, 1,390 cubic feet a second. So average, actually a little below average for what we should be at this time. We should be around 1,500.
So yep, you got to watch your bait though up there for sure.
Well, with 1,300 cubic feet a second, that's too much fresh water, and that fresh water floats on the top. Yeah, it's going to kill your bait if you got saltwater bait up there. So make sure your live wells are shut off to the surrounding area. Okay, 41 Bridge.
41 Bridge is doing pretty decent. You know, in daytime you got some black drum that are running through there. They're still catching a few small trout right around the 41 Bridge. There's been a few reports of some nice redfish, you know, scattered out, one here, one there. But at nighttime, again, the 41 Bridge, just like 75, the tarpon bite's been phenomenal. Most of them are your juveniles, with a few big ones mixed in. But the snook fishing's been pretty good too around the middle bunkers. Throwing, you know, like bouncing off the bottom with those red tail flare jigs. Also, with, you know, I've been using those dart spins, dropping them to the bottom too.
Okay, Lashley Pier, anything?
A few small trout. They have been catching some smaller snook around the base of the pier. And they've also been catching a few rat reds with occasional black drum.
Okay. Bayshore Pier.
Nothing.
Yeah, it turned on for a very short time and then kind of went right back down. Port Charlotte Canals?
Port Charlotte Canals are doing pretty good. There's a lot of juvenile tarpon running through there in the daytime. Quite a few good-sized mangrove snappers. Seems like, you know, all those canals have good mangrove snappers towards, like, the mouths of them, where there's a lot more water flow. The redfish bite has been okay, you know, a few scattered redfish here and there. Lots and lots of snook. Majority of them were on your smaller size with a few big ones mixed in. Early morning we're throwing topwater baits, and as the sun comes up then we're starting to throw more like twitch baits, jerk baits and stuff like that. Like the MR17, MR19, just bringing it down in the water a little bit.
Okay, boy, I gotta clean this up. I was trying to get pictures up on there, and I've got it such a cluster. I don't even know how you can read it. Elgin Pier.
Some pretty good snapper fishing going on there. There's also been quite a few snook hanging out like towards the beginning of the Elgin Beam Pier. You know, where your structure is, where you could cast to hit those concrete corners. The nighttime bite's been very good for the snook and tarpon. There's also quite a few trout being caught in that area. Shrimp under a float's been working best for those. But you will catch a lot of catfish doing that.
Okay, let's see, Mayaca River area.
Mayaca River is like cut off and all that?
Yeah, the cutoff, Tippecanoe, the actual river from Elgin Beam out to, you know, Trout Creek.
If you're out there in that deeper where that trough is between like Trout Creek and Mike Cutoff, there has been some cobia running through that deep trough. You know, big thread fin underneath the float. We've actually been working very, very good. You know, also trolling like a storm paddle tail has been working very good for them too. Inside the Mike Cutoff, surprisingly right now with how hot that water is in there, there's a lot of redfish and snook at Mike Cutoff. I don't know if there's a big food source in there right now for them, but there's a lot of fish in the cutoff and Tippecanoe area. They've been all on your points, you know, where they're sitting on waiting for an ambush with the current coming around the corners. That's what they're doing. Every single point seems to have quite a few fish holding up on it in the cutoff.
Well, we'll save that. If they were smart enough to listen to Radio Fishing, they get that information. I'm not typing that one in on the typed in report. And, you know, that way the people go through the effort of listening to the podcast.
Get some extra.
They get a little extra. All right, South Cove Cove.
They've been catching some right there by the locks. I've been hearing of some small snook, some decent snapper bite, with a couple of very, very small juvenile tarpon. But other than that, it's been pretty quiet.
Hey, Barry. Did you see your stuff done on the back wall?
The Star Rock. Then.
Yeah, the logo, and then there's another. There's a starfish with star rods.
There is.
Yeah, you didn't see that.
Look at the mermaid with the star rods.
Yeah, I thought you with the star rods like to be next to the mermaid, but you know, on that one wall, I didn't put any logos, so you're there, but and it's pretty blatant. It's a big star, but. Yeah, you'll see star rods when you look at it. that's my find the factory wall. So, okay, West Wall.
The West Wall's been doing good and then not good. You know, earlier in the morning and late in the evening, the West Wall is doing very good on the wall itself. But right now, that in the middle of the day, it's so gosh darn hot, and that West Wall has been very shallow. You know, in the middle of the day, I seem to find all those fish are moving into those creeks. You know, all those creeks are going to be a little bit deeper, so they're going to be a little cooler inside those creeks. So it seems to find out that all those fish are pushing up into the creeks in the middle of the day. And early morning and in the evening, they're out on the wall. Shrimp has been doing great. Gulp shrimp, live shrimp. You know, artificial-wise, like twitch baits, soft plastic paddle tails. they're all doing good. It's just they're moving depending on the time of the day.
Right. All right, Cape Hayes.
Cape Hayes is holding some smaller snook right there in that deep trough. If you slide them outside of that deep trough, they're still catching some small trout. Most of those are in your 5 to 7 foot range. Early morning, you know, the trout have been doing good up towards the surface. As the day goes on, I'm having to drop all my baits down, and I'm pretty much bouncing the bottom with my paddle tails. Or
have you heard what they're doing with the crazy jigs, the silly jigs? They're putting, you watch me make those old trout lures where I have the jig on the bottom and the spoon up above it. Similar to that, but kind of like a cross between that and the double drop bottom rig, porgy rig.
Okay.
Putting jig on the bottom, then coming up about 10, 12 inches and putting the teaser up there, letting the jig hit up and down off the bottom, and they're hooking them all in the little teaser right above it.
Makes
12 inches up. And I said, makes perfect sense once I heard of it. But there was one guy doing it, another guy's been doing it, another guy's been doing it. I built two of those for people this morning ready.
Yeah, because like I said, during the middle of the day, once that sun comes up, I'm having to drop everything down almost to the bottom, pretty much bouncing it.
With this, though, you've got one that's up in the water column and the other one hitting the sand, which is perfect for pompano.
That's actually a pretty gosh darn good idea.
Yeah, and I was like, duh, I don't know why I never thought of that, because that just makes nothing but perfect sense. So, bull bay, turtle bay?
Bull bay and turtle bay are both doing very, very well right now, but to try to stay out of the back. You know, in the back country, like all the way in the back of Turtle Bay and Bull Bay, there's not a lot of fish. The water's all milky back there, and it's, you know, there's something going on back there.
Decaying.
All the leaves and...
No, it's that weird algae. It's that, you ever look in the water and you see that kind of slime-looking green algae and everything? When that stuff dies, as it does every time this year, during the year, at this time of year, every year, at this time of year, it dies off, and it floats to the top and looks like sewage, smells like sewage. I forget the actual name of it, but I call it slime grass because it's like sheets of just green, mucky stuff.
Call it snot grass.
Snot grass, yeah. Well, when that stuff dies, it floats to the top, starts to decay, causes a tremendous amount of methane, and then there's some other type of gas being produced. But it looks like sewage, smells like sewage, sucks all the water, oxygen out of the water, so the fish have a very hard time breathing if they don't die, and it's in those back bays like that. Yep. It's the reason we should not ever have no motor zones in Charlotte Harbor. You can have slow speed zones, but if you have no outboard motors, that stuff takes over and kills everything in the back country in the summertime. And if people think, oh, well, he's full of crap, how many of you out there dream of driving to Ding Darling to fish? How do you go to Ding Darling to fish?
Not anymore.
We have and have had for almost 20 years a no motor zone. And you're not allowed to take an outboard motor in there. Can't be on. You have to use push poles, you know, paddles, and all the fish. It's a dead zone every summer. We are not Tampa. We are not the Keys. And people think, well, it works great there. And it does work great in the Keys and in Tampa. But they have big, huge sheet flows of water. We're talking little bays in the back where this stuff gets trapped.
Stagnant water.
And that 150 horse outboard, a 200 horse outboard at idle, blows that stuff off of the grass, keeps it, and it allows it to drift up, and it floats out. And it doesn't stay in there and kill everything and stagnate the whole place.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what kills Ding Darling every year. And people say, oh, we want these no motor zones. Well, you stupid. Pick up a book, call me, I'll inform you on the history of the last 30 years of the harbor and why that just is not feasible here. It's a very good idea in other areas, but it is a horrible, bad, dumb, stupid idea for here.
It makes sense because, like, not too many people go into the back of Turtle Bay and Bull Bay, and that's where it all is right now.
Yeah,
but most of your fish are up towards the beginning of Turtle Bay, Bull Bay. lot
Gee,
of snook.
Where the boats and everybody are running.
Yep, lots of snook, lots of redfish. There's quite a few trout running around.
What's weird, in areas like Shaw Harbor, it is the boats within reason that allow the fish to survive in these very hot times with all this extra algae and bacteria because all the fertilizer gets washed in and all that. It's not like it was in the 50s. But, yeah, actually a lot of these areas really, really need the boat traffic. Do I think in a lot of areas they should be required to go slow speed? I'm going to say probably yeah, because I think that some areas it's too dangerous because you can't, a fish can't hear a boat coming on plane to get out of the way in time, so they get hit by props, stuff like that. At slow speed, they can hear you coming. Now, should all the flats be slow speed? Absolutely not. Time, place, everything within moderation. And if you shut down everything to anybody, people are just going to ignore the law anyway. Look at the manatee zones. They blow right through them.
Yeah.
Not the ones I did, because when I was working for the feds and instituted manatee zones, I made sure there was a 25-mile-an-hour area here and a slow-speed area there. That way, the boats had a place to go and the animals had a place to go.
Smart.
Of course it was me. I'm a freaking brilliant. A babbling idiot of brilliance, but I'm a babbling idiot with good intentions. All right, Cape Hayes, reef and danger reef.
There's still quite a few mackerel running around that area. And you look for the birds. The birds are going to give them away. Quite a few sharks in that area, too. You know, in that area, I like to drift because it's such a big, vast area. There's a patch of gravel bottom, and there's a couple different drop-offs out there. So I drift when I fish my sharks out there, but the shark fishing is doing phenomenal. You're getting small sharks, bigger sharks, you know, medium sharks. I use a lot of bonita. That seems to be the best bait that I like when I'm out there, but ladyfish, mullet, they're all going to work. You know, another thing is certain times of the day, there are some tarpon starting to show up, you know, out there in front of Turtle Bay and Bull Bay around Cape Hayes Reef.
Okay, how about Gasparilla Sound?
The Sound is actually doing pretty good, you know, around like Sandfly, Three Sisters area, they're still catching trout, ladyfish. If you slide up towards the mangroves, you're catching a lot of snook right now around that intercoastal. You know, a lot of your snook are starting to migrate off the beaches, so that's the first areas they have to come through. They're going to come through the intercoastals on your outside of your islands, on the outside of the sandbars. And be honest with you, they're all very, very hungry right now. They just got done breeding, so they're trying to build their fat up and all that.
I would say about half of them are done. And then you got another 25% that are going to go through July, and the last 25% will last all the way through August. But about half of the major spawn is done at this point. And May and June, prime spawn months, but they'll go all the way through to August, some of them. So, you know. Let's see, Placida Pier, Little Gasparilla Pass.
Lots and lots and lots of snappers. I had a customer call me yesterday, said that they actually caught 100 snapper sitting there on the Placida Trestles.
Were they using silver sides or shrimp?
No, they were using shrimp. It's a couple out of Englewood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They also said they're catching a lot of bonnethead sharks. Few sheephead. And then they also surprisingly said that there's a couple like monster redfish. You know, they're not getting a bunch of them, but they're getting a few here and there, but they're all 40 inches. Some really good redfish are coming in and out of there.
Okay. Lemon Bay, Stump Pass?
Stump Pass is phenomenal right now. The snook fishing is amazing. You know, inside Stump Pass, coming all the way into Ski Alley, it's full of snook. Go in there with a shrimp, freeline shrimp, go in there with a split tail zoom or a jerk bait or anything like that, and you're going to catch a lot of snook right there in that area. You know, as you get up towards like the kayak launch, there's been a lot of redfish over there by that kayak launch, over there at the backside of Middle Beach. Also quite a few good sized snook there right now too.
Okay, and Englewood Pier, the Anger Pier.
They're catching snapper. But the best bite that I've been hearing about there is at nighttime. The tarpon, juvenile tarpon, and the snook bite there has been phenomenal at night. A lot of people are using, you know, ladyfish or mullet for the snook. And then they're throwing shrimp, free line shrimp, and artificial like the storm paddle tails, and you know, little baits for the juvenile tarpon and the light lines.
Venice.
Venice jetties is still holding quite a few big snook. My buddy was there 2 days ago. He caught 4 snook over 40 inches on the jetties using ladyfish heads. He said he has been doing good on the mullet, but that night he couldn't get anything to eat the mullet, so he put on a couple ladyfish heads, and he said he ended up catching them one after another.
I just drove all the way up to Tampa this morning because you know how many freezers we have and how full they are Thursday morning? By halfway through Saturday, they were pretty much mostly empty. By the end of Sunday, they were... Our freezers were empty.
Well, it's red snapper season.
The red snapper, the snook fishing, the shark fishing. I mean, I literally thought, okay, I've got enough bait to last a week and a half. And it lasted Thursday, Friday, part of Saturday. Yeah. By Sunday, people were already mad at me. So I drove up to Tampa this morning. And I left at 4 o'clock this morning so I could be back here with a pickup truck full of bait.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So,
well, it'll be gone, I'm sure of that.
Well, it's better than getting yelled at all week.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know? And I appreciate the fact that they really want to go fishing and that they're coming to us to go fishing, but it's a little tough to get yelled at, you know, and I guess I deserve it. We're busier. This is the busiest June we've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
We've never been this busy in June before. And
but yeah, look at it. We've had some very nice weather days.
And the fish are going
crazy.
The
fish are doing amazing. I mean, the weather has a big part to it.
Yeah.
You so know, we've had a break from the wind, so people are actually able to make them drives out.
It's just, you know, I'm very, very thankful, but I didn't want to get yelled at for the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday until Thursday when the bait showed up. So I just drove up and picked up. I loaded the back of my truck full. Actually, it was in good shape by the time I got back here. A little tonneau cover thing I got.
Kept it nice and cool.
Yeah, they were all, nothing was thawed out at all.
Nice.
You know, because you worry about that with the shrimp, because they can get awfully nasty if they get hot.
Quick,
but
too.
I put the shrimp all on the bot. You know, I put a layer of sardines down, and then I put shrimp in, and then I put another, I put the chum over the top of them, and I had them between all the stuff, so the shrimp
was in their own little freezer.
Yeah, they were in their own little freezer. But nothing thawed out. And I mean, that was an hour and 45 minutes takes me to get back, and I was not exceeding the speed limit for any officer who was listening to the show. I did not exceed the speed limit. No, not once all the time. Okay. Gulf of Mexico.
The Gulf of Mexico has been on fire. You know, 2 weeks ago, I ran 50 miles out. We limited out on all the red snapper we wanted, grouper, yellowtails, big mangroves. This past weekend we ran 70 out, did the same exact thing. You know, most of our red snapper bite that I've been getting on has been on like big chunks of bonita. The bonita seems to be working the best for the red snapper. Also, you know, this past weekend we came across big acre pods of real sardines out there. So we pulled up, filled every live well up with the sardines, and
you know, I've got Ballyhoo in 5-pound boxes now, so if you want Ballyhoo for cut bait, we got cigar minnows, I got the good sardines again, the real, you know, the nice stuff. We've got those back in stock, and, you know.
Yeah, this weekend we were dropping them live sardines down, and, I mean, live or dead, it worked phenomenal. We were taking the heads.
Better than live sardines, there is literally nothing better.
Yeah, we were taking the heads of the sardines and dropping them down for all of our big mangroves and the yellowtails. Some pretty good yellowtails and mangroves out there right now. I mean, we even caught a sailfish at 50 miles out, and that was on a frozen sardine. We were dropping it down, and lo and behold, it picked it up when it was going down.
Did you see the mahi?
No, we were checking for the mahi because I seen a lot of grass lines out there. We didn't see any mahi.
I heard a lot of stories about permit out there.
Yep, the permit, they're in closer. They're on your near shore reefs. There's a lot of tuna out there right now, too. In that 40 to, you know, 60, 70 mile range, lots of, you know, your small little football tunas. You know, you got to pick and choose which pod you pull up to, because some are going to be bonita and then others will be tuna. But there's quite a few of them out there.
Okay. Scrolling down here and down. Boca Grande Pass?
Boca Grande Pass is still doing very, very well for the tarpon fishing. Lots of tarpon. There's still quite a few sharks running in that area. Been seeing quite a few people dropping down to the bottom and actually catching some small grouper and some, you know, decent mangrove snappers. You know, if you sit there and go up on the edge of the pass, you know, there's a lot of snook that are hanging out right on the edge of your passes right now. They're sitting there, they're feeding on, you know, all your tide changes. They're picking up everything that's getting blown through. You know, also there's quite a few pompano starting to show up.
How about Captiva?
Captiva Pass has been doing phenomenal for the snook fishing. That's mainly what's, you know, I've been seeing at Captiva Pass is
the snook. How about pompano over there?
I haven't ran into no pompano. I've been hearing people catching them. The other day I looked for them, I couldn't find them. We ended up just snook fishing.
The one for
pompano, yep. Right there off that little rock wall, those little jetties they have. That's where I've been watching the people catching pompano at. On little pieces of shrimp on a silly willy jig. They're just throwing it out there and letting it set.
Captiva, snook fishing, what else?
Snook, mainly. You do have some pretty good snapper fishing there. Be honest, the other day we caught a couple lane snapper there, which is a little odd. I mean, those were very small, but we caught a couple lane snapper while we were catching some nice mangrove snappers. But the snook fishing there is phenomenal.
All right. Redfish Pass or anything?
Nothing on redfish.
All right. 17th Street?
17th Street, there's still quite a few snook running, you know, right there in your in the trough of the surf on the beach.
Right.
And be honest with you, I mean, if you're sitting here from the beach, look out, because there's been quite a few tarpon sitting there really close to that area on the beach. Very, very easy for people on the beach to be able to fish for them. There has been a few whiting on the surf too, but, you know, mainly you're snook fishing.
And Middle Beach, anything?
Nothing on the Middle Beach.
Sanibel?
Sanibel's actually, you know, doing very, very well for tarpon, snook. You know, mostly down there we're throwing those big thread fins or bigger artificial baits.
I'm hearing about a ton of small sharks.
Yep, there's a lot of small sharks. There's actually a lot of Goliath grouper hanging around the Sanibel Causeway right now. You know, if you come into like around there at Punarasa, inside Punarasa on all those islands, there's a lot of redfish. They're scattered on all those little keys in there. You know, pull up to one of those little islands, you'll catch two or three redfish. Move over to the next island, you'll catch, you know, three or four more redfish. Not large numbers, but there's a lot of fish that are just scattered through that whole Punarasa area.
All right, Coosanchy River.
I haven't got nothing up there.
Okay. Cape Coral?
Nope.
Matt Lachey?
Matt Lachey's been very, very good. Lots and lots of redfish and snook scattered through all Matt Lachey. You know, the best bait that I've been finding down there has actually been working a shrimp. A live shrimp has been outfishing everything in Matt Lachey. Free line or on a jig head. You know, free line for your snook, jig head for the redfish. You know, another thing that's been working good is cut crab. Cut crab has been working excellent. You know, the trout fishing down by St. James City has probably been the best, you know, in this whole area. You know, there's still quite a few good-sized trout running around down there in St. James. Anything from a DOA cow to a twitch bait, MR17, MR19, they're going after more fish pattern stuff than shrimp. But all the bait that's, you know, running around.
Okay. go. I can't believe I can type that fast. All right. Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island Sound's been pretty good. You know, over there by, like, Red Roof, there's a lot of redfish scatter out in that area. The Spanish House, the same thing. You know, over there by, like, Wood Key and Patricio on those deeper cuts, that's where I've been doing a lot of, you know, good trout fishing, too. All my trout fishing, though, like I said earlier, it's early morning, I'm doing it more on the surface. And then as the day goes on, I'm dropping everything down to that 5 to 7 foot range, bouncing the bottom. And that's how we're getting all the trout once the sun comes up.
Okay. Jug Creek Shoals? Okiria?
On the docks up there, there's a lot of redfish and snook fishing those docks to the left of, you know, the public fishing pier there. You know, there's still quite a few trout out there in the flat out there because there's a lot of bait in that area. So, you know, the trout seem to be hanging around, you know, where the bait is. Early morning, I wouldn't fish for the trout there just because of how many people are out there trying to catch bait. But as the day goes on, when everybody starts leaving, that's when the trout fishing picks up.
All right. Brent Store, Two Plains.
There's actually a school of redfish that are running in that area right now. They're bouncing back and forth from Burnt Store to Two Pines. One day they're in Two Pines, the next day they're in Burnt Store, so they're kind of hard to pinpoint where they're going to be, but just go over there, get on a trolling motor and start fishing, and pretty sure you're going to run into them at some point. If the water's up, they're going to be up towards the bushes. If the water's out, they're going to be out, you know, closer towards the sandbar. You know, there's a lot of snook out there, right there around like the Burnt Store Islands. There's quite a few snook hanging around there. And in those deep troughs, there's a lot of snook there hanging in them deep troughs. You know, throwing storm twitch stick in those deeper troughs have been working very good. You know, also that, what is that one lure that we have? Not the PETA lure. The Savage?
The Weston?
No, yep, the Weston. The Weston, that little new little Weston bait that we had.
That little longer one, the one that Chandler started using over there?
I threw that a couple times, worked very well over there in that area.
It almost to me looks like a tiny ladyfish.
Yeah.
It really does.
Now that you say that, yeah, it kind of does. But I mean, I was very surprised because he told me, he's like, man, I've been doing very well on this. And I was like, well, you know, I'll try it. And
did you use the weedless worm hook or the jig head?
Weedless on over there in that area. I was using the weedless because it's shallow.
Right. But he's using a weighted weedless worm hook with that Weston fish. And to be quite honest, I only bought the Weston to get the little crab lure. I wanted that little crab lure. I had a hunch it was going to be the only crab lure to ever catch fish. And so far, I'm right.
Yeah.
A little tiny dot of Pro-Cure on it, with or without it, works, but with it works a little better. But you can tie that little crab on, those redfish will eat it. I'm really interested to see what the permit are going to do to it.
I know, I want to get a day out to go out for them.
Yeah. So, alright, east side of the harbor.
East side, you know, is doing very well. Most of your fish are on the outer islands. It's getting so hot in that backcountry right now, there's not a lot of fish as you start pushing back to that second or third set of islands. All your fish that I'm finding are, you know, redfish, snook, they're all on your outer islands. Nothing's really balled up, but there's a lot of, you know, scattered fish, good numbers of scattered fish. If you push out into the flats, you're still catching a lot of smaller trout, you know, right there around, the island that used to be there, Two Tits.
Mm-hmm.
In that deep hole, there's still quite a few small trout running in that area, and Pirate Harbor area too. You know, tend to also look for your deeper cuts. Your deeper cuts are going to be a little bit cooler. You know, every island over there has a deep cut because where the water washes it out. Majority of your fish I'm finding are in one of those cuts on either side of the island.
If you know an island that has a fairly deep trough with some mangrove branches over the top of it, that's where the fish are going to be.
Yep.
Look for bright green bushy stuff. So, Alligator Creek?
You know, up in Alligator Creek there's been some small black drum running around. quite a few jacks up in that side of Alligator Creek too. There's some big bruiser jacks cruising in and out of there. Lots of snook up there in your deeper bends. The mangrove snapper fishing's been pretty decent up there. You know, up towards the locks, there's been some very nice mangrove snapper fishing. Where the locks used to be.
And just a reminder, boys and girls, that they are mangrove snappers. Just because they have a red belly does not make them a red snapper. So those are mangrove snapper in the harbor. Every once in a blue moon, a lane snapper or something, but the odds are pretty astronomical that you'll catch a red snapper in Charlotte Harbor. Not to say that it is impossible, to say it is pretty much mostly improbable. And never say never, but yeah, you've got a better chance of getting hit by lightning.
Yeah.
And although I've been hit 2-3 times, so you know, what the heck. All right, Ponce Leon Park.
Ponce has been doing pretty good. Some very, very large jacks running through there. The snook fishing's been pretty phenomenal in that main stretch inside Ponce, you know, where the current's always ripping in and out. Be honest with you, I've been trolling, doing a little bit more trolling through there, you know, just coming in and out, trolling, you know, like a storm twitch stick or a curly tail.
It's amazing how you said that, because so many people are just using that twitch stick through the aisles, and it's just wrecking fish.
It's phenomenal.
Wrecking fish. I mean, how do you cancel or not make a lure that does? And don't worry, we still have them. I worked out a deal with the Storm people, Rapala Storm, whatever, and we are keeping the Storm twitch sticks. You will have them. You don't have to come in and buy a dozen. We're going to have them. So, but how would a company, I mean, just think of how many, we were selling thousands a year. I mean, we outsold Canada for 2 years. You know,
yeah.
And so why would you ever discontinue a lure like that? Even if you only have one store that's going to buy thousands a year.
You know, it's like Gulp. I went and bought, when they discontinued the root beer gold, I went and bought 175 packs of the root beer gold I have hanging up on my garage and a pegboard wall, just like you do. That only get brought out for special occasions.
I would start bringing them out because they do have a shelf life. You got a couple years. The only way you can keep longer is to get the juice and start putting them in the juice, because they will start getting funky in a bag.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually checked them a couple days ago. They still all have fluid in them. But yeah.
You're going to end up having to buy, like, take a big jug, dump in a jug, you know, yep. Put the juice on them. Otherwise, they ain't going to be there. You know, just watch the bags, because as soon as they start to dry out, you got to get them in the juice. All right, PGI Canals.
PGI Canals has been doing pretty gosh darn good, you know. A lot of black drum running around, big black drum. You know, the best bait for them is a half a blue claw crab or a shrimp. But a lot of your canal systems are holding those big black drum. And surprisingly right now, if you have the patience, you sit there, you start catching black drum, black drum, black drum. Next thing you know, you're going to get railed. And if you could land it, it's a monster redfish. We've been catching some, not a lot of them, but we've been catching some upper 30s.
Low 40-inch redfish.
Low 40s, but we'll be fishing that pot of black drum and we'll get one redfish out of there. Or, you know, next time we might not get any, then the next one we might get one or two.
But they still say that's where some of those weird-looking fish, you know, those red,
the copper, yeah.
The black drum, that they're kind of orange or red or copper color, and they don't really go to the bottom. They don't act like a black drum, but they don't look like a redfish, but they got those big weird fins on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those big redfish have found out hanging out with those black drum, and when they start spawning, it's just more all for one and one for all, you know.
Yep. You know, the snook fishing's been doing very good in those canals. All the snook that I've been finding, though, are right at the mouths where they meet the harbor. I don't know if it's because that's where the coolest water is, you know, so it's being filtered in and out the most.
I would say it's probably because some of those fish live so far back in the canals, they get to the mouth of the canal, like they're 3 miles back in there. They get up to the mouth, they think they're in the Gulf, and they just say, okay, this is where I'm going to go and spawn. You know, I went far enough.
You had a point, because there's a lot of good snook fishing, but at every single mouth of the canals.
Well, you know, it's not like they stick their head out and go, oh, look, that's, you know, Dr. So-and-so's house, and I guess I, you know, I'm in Punta Gorda, so, you know. They just know how salty it is, yeah. Isn't. Now, with the rainwater, it'd probably push them out, but a lot of them already spawned.
Yep.
So, all right, where the heck are we? Gilcrest Pier.
They're catching some snook up there, you know, early morning, and a few black drum. Other than that, it's been pretty quiet.
Well, it was better than Bayshore.
Yeah.
So, Alligator Creek Reef.
You know, they're catching some snapper there. There's been a few cobia running in and out of there. Surprisingly, I mean, I've been seeing a few triple tail. You know, not a lot, just one here, one there, just floating in the middle. You know, just hanging out, not a care in the world. But they're just out there, I'm doing their thing, I guess. I don't know what they're doing, but cool. There's not large numbers, but you'll be seeing a few here and there.
But they're big ones.
Yes.
All right. Deep holes in the harbor.
You're starting to catch some sharks in the holes. You know, big mixed variety of sizes, a lot of small ones to a few bigger ones. Keep your eyes open for tarpon, because this is the time of year when those tarpon are going to start funneling up into our harbor. Not all of them, but, you know, a good portion of them are going to start coming into our harbor, and you'll be sitting there shark fishing. Next thing you know, you got tarpon running around your boat. So, you know, it's a good thing to maybe have, you know, a live ladyfish or two in your well, or some bait busters tied up while you're shark fishing, because you'll get the opportunity to catch a couple tarpon too. You know, there's been some big jacks cruising the harbor on those bait pods. They're very sporadic. They're in the upper part of the harbor, then they're in the lower part of the harbor day to day. You know, there's quite a few catfish running around out there too.
Yeah. Anything freshwater going in?
I've been hearing about 9 Mile. 9 Mile, I've been hearing doing very, very well. A lot of people I've been talking to are using lizards. I don't know if that's the big secret right now, but I do know a lot of people are using those artificial lizards to catch the bass over there in 9 Mile.
Well, I mean, they might have had a late spawn, because usually when you're using lizards, lizards eat bass eggs, and so they go, and while the bass are protecting their eggs, and you run a lizard by it, they try and kill the lizard so it doesn't eat the bass eggs. But it could be, maybe there's just a lot of lizards, so they're eating lizards right now.
Yeah, but a lot of people are using a very dark colored lizard right now, and they're buying the heck out of them.
Okay, and just a second. Alright, let me get this. And of course I didn't. Trying to get the tarpon maps up. And I did so much other stuff, it's not on the list of recently done stuff, so now I gotta go hunt for it again. Okay. All right. Red dots mean really good fishing. And so where would we put some red dots right now?
Boca Grande Pass.
Gotcha.
Boca Grande Beach.
From north or up to Gasparilla?
From like the lighthouse.
Yeah.
Towards Little Gasparilla.
All the way up to Gasparilla?
Yep.
Okay. Anywhere else for red dots?
North of Little Gasparilla, from like Little Gasparilla to Englewood.
Okay.
Also up in Venice around like Sharky's and all, like Sharky's Pier and all, that's doing very, very good right now too.
Alright, yellow dots?
Well, you also got some red dots down there towards Captiva.
Oh, okay. Red dots in Captiva.
The yellow dots, you know, you're going to look on the hill.
Okay.
In front of Cape Hayes, up in the 20-foot holes,
Gotcha.
Two pines. And then that flat on the inside of Captiva Pass.
Gotcha. All right. White
dots. You also have some red dots down there towards Sanibel, too.
All right. Where, by Ponarasa, by the bridge, or around
right
the
there,
Gulf?
The causeway.
Yeah.
And then on the beach, right there, coming on right around the point of Sanibel.
All right. Any, like, pink nighttime fishing dots?
Your 41 bridge, your 75 bridge, El Jabin bridge, Boca Grande Pass.
Yeah, I never thought about putting those in there, but that's really where they belong, yeah. Cape Coral Bridge,
mm-hmm.
41 in Fort Myers,
Sanibel
railroad
Causeway.
Trestle.
Yep, Sanibel Causeway, too.
Okay. All right, anywhere else for nighttime?
No, I don't think so.
All right, I will save that so I can get that up. Alrighty then.
And I just got a message that they're in the harbor right now.
Ouch. Well, I can throw some red dots in the harbor.
Yeah, literally, I just got a text message that they're in the middle hole right now.
Did done save. Alright. Anything else you would like to talk about today?
Do you have a bait report?
No, it got so hard to do it.
Yeah.
And people want me to do it again, but I just don't know how to pull it off. I can bring it back.
You know, but like this time of year, it's very, very good idea to either start your trip very extremely early or later in the day when it cools down. The middle of the day, it starts getting tough, you know, fishing because it's so gosh darn hot out. Just think of it as like we don't want to do a lot. We'd much rather sit in the shade or in the AC and relax. Well, the fish are the same way, you know. In the middle of the day, the fish are either going to push deep or they're going to push up as far as they can in the shade of this area, and sometimes when they get that far back, it's hard to get those fish to even come out of there and bite, or to even get your bait that far back to, you know, to where you're going to intrigue them to, you know, eat. So your early morning bite is going to be your best, and then your really later evening is going to be your best bite too. In the middle of the day, you're going to have to work for it. I mean, you're going to have a lot of patience, pull up to an area that has a lot of green trees or docks and very good shade, and you're going to have to spend 20-30 minutes to see if you could lure what fish are in there all the way out. Because they're just sitting in there relaxing, they're staying cool, they're not trying to burn as much energy. But in the mornings and the evenings, the bite's pretty good when it's still cooler out.
Well, I guess if I can get this out of the way, and I can do this, signifying that we have actually done this in 49 minutes. So, we did pretty good.
Yeah.
So anyway, Fishing Frank here, and this is the Fishing Report. We're getting to him, and Robert's back tomorrow from vacation. And we'll be talking about that this week, but it's just been really tough. Robert's been going the last couple weeks, and I had Josh helping me, and I've had other stuff, but we've got a whole bunch of shows coming up on Radio Fishing. I did a fishing report with Josh. 524. This is 624. I did one in between there. I know I did. Oh well, you know, it's one of those things where we're trying. All right, boys and girls, we'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Thank you. Bye-bye.